Probably there are many people living today who have no time for God. Some of them realize that there will come a day known as Judgment Day. They may even have their excuses already. But do you want to know something? It will be too late. Their excuses won't mean a thing. There are some people who heard Jesus teach who rebelled and refused to believe. Listen to what Jesus said about them in John chapter 15, verse 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. This is not to suggest that they would not have been sinners had they not heard Christ. I read in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20, there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Their sin was intensified because of their unbelief. They were more guilty after having heard Christ present the truth. For this reason, they have no cloak for their sin. Failure to act upon spiritual truth results in greater condemnation. Think of the judgment that will be experienced by those reared in lands where the gospel has been preached who have done nothing about the claims of God. Now, this is not to say that pagans in far-off heathen lands who have never heard the gospel will escape judgment, for even they have not obeyed the knowledge God has given in creation. Paul makes this clear in Romans chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. No one will be excused because he has never heard the truth. John chapter 3, verse 3 is clear. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Whether one lives in darkest heathenism or in cultural refinement, there is only one way to be saved, and that is by receiving Jesus Christ. We have millions of Bibles in our land, and could we not say a great many of them are never read? What a tragedy that people who know the way and others who have the possibility of knowing the way have done nothing about it. I read in the Word of God, as Jesus said once again, they have no cloak for their sin. They have brought themselves to judgment by their own neglect. Consider, too, the children and young people being reared in Christian homes who fail to make a sincere commitment to the Lord Jesus. They go to church every Sunday. Some of them are even active in the program of the church, but there is no real evidence of a heart transformation. The words of our Lord applied to them also, as he said, now they have no cloak for their sin. Many of them are rebellious, breaking the hearts of their parents. Some are even living in sin in spite of having been reared in a Christian atmosphere and hearing the teachings of the Bible. Day by day, as they continue on in their rejection of our Lord, they are bringing themselves closer to judgment. Now in the next verse, verse 23, Jesus said, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. Here we see why it is such a serious offense to reject Christ. For he who rejects the Son of God at the same time rejects God the Father. It is impossible to love the Father without loving the Son, for Jesus is the Son of God. And then in verse 24 we read, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. The Lord Jesus proved himself to be the Son of God by his works. These were, as he said, works which none other man did. Moses and the prophets performed miracles, but in no case could they compare with our Lord's, which were always done through his own power, while others were performed by delegated power. Christ's miracles exceeded the others in their greatness. There was no reason for the Jews to reject him. They had not only heard his words, but they had seen his works. Jesus said in verse 25, "But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." Here is a prophetic word taken from one of the great messianic Psalms, Psalm 69. Unbelief among the Jews was ungrounded. They had all the evidence necessary for belief, but they hardened their hearts against the Lord. People in our day are no different. God has revealed himself in the person of his Son. With all the knowledge we have of Christ, there are thousands upon thousands of people who do nothing about it. Think for a moment of Christ's early life. He was reared in the home of a carpenter, where he had no access to the great wisdom of the past. He knew little of the teachings of other lands. Humanly speaking, he was not an educated man, for he had no formal training. But at the age of 30, he taught as no professor in any college or university has taught since. He never traveled other than just around the cities and villages of a small fraction of the world. He gathered a few disciples around him and preached for only several years. He was arrested, crucified, and buried, but he did not stay in the tomb. He rose again and later ascended into heaven. His disciples, like him, were soon put to death. What would happen to the influence of a mere man reared in such circumstances? Doubtless, you would never even hear of his name. You see, Christ was more than a man. How do I know? Since the time of his death and resurrection, the truth he taught has spread until hundreds of millions have taken his name with reverence upon their lips, and millions who have believed on him would be willing to die rather than surrender the faith he put in their hearts. There is only one explanation for all of this. Christ is the eternal Son of God. Jesus declared, "They hated me without a cause." His worst enemies could find no evil in him, but they hated him anyway. Since they persecuted him, they will also persecute us. But Christ assures us that we are not alone. Jesus said in verse 26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Not only does the Holy Spirit guide and lead us, but he testifies of Christ. If in any way he is prevented from testifying of Christ, he is grieved, and the believer who grieves him will be unhappy. Not only would the Holy Spirit testify of Christ, but he would do this through the people of God. Verse 27, "And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." In Romans 8, verse 16, we read that the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It is normal for the Holy Spirit to testify of Christ, but there is also a human side to the witnessing. The Christian who does not permit the Spirit to witness through him is resisting the Spirit. This is a serious evil, for the Spirit's work is being hindered. John Knox cried out to God, "Give me Scotland or I die." It seemed that the Lord replied, "Die and I will give you Scotland." Do you want power in your Christian life? Do you want to be effective for God? Die to yourself and your desires, that Jesus Christ might take full possession. Tell God you want him to have full control, that you are willing to forsake all to follow him. You may be sure that he will do the rest. If you are willing, God is even more willing. And if you have never responded to God's invitation to receive Christ as your Savior and Lord, I invite you to do so right now. Do it while the door is open. Today is a day of grace. Tomorrow may be a day of judgment. God loves you, friend, and he wants you to be saved. He wants to give you the joy and peace that millions have known who have received Jesus Christ. Say to God right now, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I realize that Christ died for my sins, and at this very moment I surrender myself to him. I ask him to come into my life and live through me." He will do that as you ask him. He will not force his way on you. But if you ask him, he will come into your life, and he will guide and lead you step by step. Trust him as your Savior and Lord. Our Father, you've said in your word, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. We're so glad you said, whosoever will, for the door is open to all who will come. May many come now, I pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.